My name is Matt Miller, the campus pastor of New City Church Shawnee, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today, and a special thanks to those who give financially to New City. Your giving makes this podcast possible. Now, I hope today's message inspires you to trust in and live like Jesus. If it does, I want to encourage you to click and subscribe to our podcast, share it on social media, maybe even send it to a friend in need. Man, enjoy today's message. I want you to go ahead and open your Bible, a Bible app. We're going to be in one of two places this morning. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 7, okay? So we're going to build on communion, and we're going to do a little reset individually in Matthew chapter 7. So you might be a little uncomfortable, maybe not. And then we're going to wrap up with John 13 on what is the opportunity that lies before us. And then we're going to celebrate with a baptism. How fun is that? All right? This week so far this year, we are January the 10th, and I believe that we've had 7 people confess Jesus as Lord since the first of the year. It's pretty awesome. I mean, I love that, actually. One of the words that some of my prayer friends and I have been sharing back and forth on different platforms is the word harvest, right? And so this morning, if you are beginning to follow Jesus, you are confessing Him as the Lord of your life, you're believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, one of the ways that you can let us know is by that digital Connect card. There's a place on there where you can talk about where you are in your relationship. Some of you have been putting, I'm coming back to God, or I'm starting new in my faith, and then in the prayer section, they're telling me their story. Like, I want to know, I want to celebrate that. I want to celebrate that with you. And this morning, during this service, we're actually going to go public with a baptism with our friend Corey. Now, I want to give you something radical. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, just right there at the beginning, verses 1. And Matthew 7 is the kind of the tail end, or getting close to the most famous message that Jesus gave. But before we get there, I want to talk about something really, really radical. Back in November, I gave a message prior to the election about how the early church, kind of what was their 5 foundations. And you can go back and listen to that message. I think the information was pretty good. But soon after that, I got a text from one of our elders, Diana Bartel, and she's like, hey, I don't know if you guys have heard of Timothy Keller. He's a pretty prominent pastor in New York, smart guy. He has a lot of integrity and respect, carries a lot of respect in Christian circles. And she goes, I think Timothy Keller listened to your message because he says almost the exact same things. And I'm like, well, I'm sure he did, right? But I went on the link, and I was listening to Pastor Timothy Keller, and it was. And I was like, hey, that's awesome. At least I know my content was correct. But he added something that I didn't know, something that I had neglected to say or to understand. And it's the most radical of all the things about the first church, the early Christians, those who followed Jesus, who followed after His resurrection. And this is it. This is the most radical thing. When the early church was killed, they didn't kill back. What? When the early church was killed, they didn't kill back. Tell me something more radical than that. Because we are in a tit-for-tat culture. You can't watch the news and hear a story about something that happened right now where they don't at some point in that story tell you what happened before that's led to this. I mean, it's just this stupid cycle. They use real events to excuse or motivate current events. It's back and forth, right? And so the early church, when they were killed, they didn't kill back. You want to be radical? Stop responding. Everybody's doing that. Are you willing, as followers of Jesus, to be attacked and not fight back? Well, Matt, that was the early church. King David did the same thing. How many times did King David have, when David wasn't yet king, but he had been anointed as king, how many times did he have King Saul in his crosshairs where he could have simply walked up to Saul and stabbed him and ended it, but yet he did not? He was the Lord's anointed. He had been anointed as king, but yet he did not. Why? Because it's a radical thing to believe that God's got this. Every person in your Bible, didn't even come close to the liberties and freedoms that we have as Christians. Didn't even scratch it. Persecuted, hated, no voice, no platform, and yet, to my amazement, the gospel still moved. Like, our faith is weak. Don's a church planner. I tell church planners all the time, if your success of your church plant is on what man or woman does, you don't need to plant this church. Where's your faith in God? Has God not called you to do this? If God's called you to plant a church, then trust that God's going to provide. And yes, you're going to work, and yes, you're going to partner, and yes, there's going to be people come alongside you. But you don't do or not do because of what a man is going or not going to do. And that's oftentimes how we might approach our own life and our own security with God. That we take God out of it, and we begin to put our hope and securities in the things that we see and the things that we know. It's just an observation, just things that I read. This week on Facebook, I think it's been a fair assessment for me to be able to say this. There are some people who believe that we're entering into 4 years of discipline from God. And there's also people that I follow on Facebook that think we're just coming out of 4 years of discipline from God. I might hold the faith that maybe we're in 8 years of discipline for God. I don't know. I don't post a lot of stuff because I don't have words. I have opinions. Who has opinions in the room? But when I take my opinions and I press them through two filters, what Jesus says and then what my wife will allow me to post, there's not a lot of stuff that gets posted, right? Jesus and Jen, they really kept me out of trouble, right? But it's not that I don't have opinions. It's that when I put that through the filter of what is the Lord allowing me to say from His kingdom perspective, I really get to the place where I don't have words. How many things I have typed out and deleted? Yeah. Matthew 7, here's what I'd like for you to do. I want you to read it first on your own. We're going to play some reading music. I want you to read Matthew 7, 1 through 6. And here's the thing. Before you start reading, eyes on me. Jesus is talking to you, not someone else. So you're not reading it for someone else. You're not reading it hoping they hear it, get it, nudging. Father, what are you wanting to say to me through this message? Can we start there? Okay. So let's take some time. Matthew 7, 1 through 6, what is the Lord saying to you? All right? Let's just kind of reflect on that one for a minute, okay? Jesus says, "Do not judge so that you won't be judged, for you will be judged by the same standard with which you judge others, and you will be measured by the same measure you use." We're in a series called Pro Tips, so I thought I'd give you a pro tip. It's kind of funny. My daughter Christy, she's 11 now, but when she was little, she'd walk around the house. She could be pretty feisty. Luke, I believe, is one of my kids calls her and Katie the sass pastors because they got the sass down. But Christy, when she was little, she would say this. She would say, "Worry about your own self." She'd say, she'd walk around, she'd get so mad at the table, and she'd just, "Won't you worry about your own self?" I'm thinking of spirit-filled. All right? We need to be worrying about our own self first. Let's continue on. It says, "Why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the splinter out of your eye, and look, there's a beam of wood in your own eye'? Hypocrite, first take the beam of wood out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye." Jesus is not telling Christians to sit down and shut up. He's not telling you to be quiet about what you're seeing in our world. He's not telling you not to vote. He's not telling you not to protest. He's not telling you not to comment on Facebook or post your thoughts on Facebook or a Parler or whatever you're going to these days, right? He's not telling you that. He's just kind of giving you an order to go about that. And that order is, first, get the splinter or the beam out of your own eye before you worry about the splinter or the little speck of wood in someone else's. And he calls us hypocrites. He calls the people that he's speaking to that day, he calls them a bunch of hypocrites because we walk around and we're trying to get everybody else to fall in line and do the right thing where we don't stop. And I guess I would say it like this. If Jesus is asking you to be critical of anyone right now, he wants you to be critical of yourself first. And we might need to repent of this, that it's so much easier for us to have expectations for how we want other people to act so that we don't have to think about how we act and how we respond. This is a good maturity growing up problem. Is, man, it's easier for me to talk about you and what I see that you're doing that I disagree with, don't like, hate, than it is for me to be reflective on the very same things that anybody in here have kids that have ever gotten onto your kid and realized that you do the exact same thing on a bigger level. Oh my gosh! Nobody tell Luke. He's back here. I hope he didn't hear me say that. How many times have I got aggravated at him for doing something when I know, oh my gosh, he is a little me? He is a little me, and I love him. He knows I love him. He's a little me. Man, it's so easy. Jesus says, why do you look at the splinter? Like, why are you looking? Why are you focused on the splinter in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the beam of wood in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, hey, let me tell you what you should do, or how I can help you out? Hypocrite, first take the beam of wood out of your eye, and then you can see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. Third piece is this. Notice what he says. Don't give what is holy to dogs, or toss your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under their feet, turn and tear you to pieces. What? That doesn't seem like it. You're talking about wood, and all of a sudden now you're talking about pigs and dogs? What are you, Jesus, woohoo, over here, chasing a rabbit? No, he's not. He's giving us a good pro tip. You ready for this one? If they aren't asking you a question, you are wasting your time giving an answer. If they aren't asking you a question, you are wasting your breath giving them an answer, even if it's the right, true, just answer. We all know this with family. How many of you have a family member that just with a couple of different decisions, their life would be better? Anybody have those? But they're not asking you. And no matter how often you pray for them or want to tell them or whatever it might be, they're not listening. So you know what they do? He says, don't give what is holy to dogs or toss your pearls before pigs. They will trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces. Sometimes they just trample them like what you're saying is dumb and worthless and stupid. And sometimes they take your words and they turn on you and they tear you to pieces. Anybody experienced that in life? You give somebody help. You give somebody some free advice. You're just trying to help somebody out. Jesus says, listen, if they're not asking, they're not trying to seek out wisdom from you, it's you're not doing any good. And I can prove it. How much good's happening on social media right now? When you get on social media, when you get off, do you have more peace or less peace? No, seriously. Are you more anxious or less anxious? Do you have hope in the world, or you're like, this is bad? Right? It's because everybody's telling everybody what to do and nobody's asking. Nobody's asking. And by the way, I don't think you should go on Facebook and ask people to tell you what you think about it. Don't do that. Or any social media site. You need good church friends. You need people who love the Lord. You need people who take this cup serious. That's why getting in a Bible study, getting in a discipling group, making church friends, surrounding yourself with Christian brothers and sisters who think differently from you on things of this world, but have a common belief in who Jesus is and what lordship looks like. Man, that's a good thing. There is the environment for you to get together and share your thoughts, concerns, and questions. I was able this week to meet with Pastor Price on our Raytown campus. I sat down with him and I said, Price, you're black, I'm white. We all know that. Hey, let's talk. And I'm not going to tell you what we talked about. It was between he and I. I just needed some perspective, and he needed some perspective, and we needed to be brothers. And I trust him, and he trusts me, and we can just talk, and we can say stupid stuff and not hate each other after the fact. Wow. Facebook is not that platform, guys. But I'm like, when are we going to learn that? I wish they'd censor me. I wish they'd take my account away so I wouldn't have to use it. Honestly, President Trump may be the most blessed man right now today because he can't use any of them. And for us, it's just like a drug. We can't stay off of it. Man, I would delete it, but then you guys can't see my Facebook Lives that you all tune in for. That's the excuse I give. So what do we do? Right, like, how do we respond? What do we do? I want to turn you to John 13 now. John 13, verses 3 through 15. This is good. Now, when we start getting into these John verses, these 13, 14, 15, know that this is Jesus getting really close to the cross. These are in his life timeline. Around verse 13 is when it's starting to get really serious. And so Jesus' ministry gets very specific and very poignant, and he ain't really messing around a lot. Like, there's not a lot of fluff and puff, right? And so I want you to see here, this is the famous story where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Who's read this story before or heard this story? Okay? So let me just read this to us. I'm going to be in John chapter 13, verses 3 through 15. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. What's that next word? This is huge. Huge. He's really like, what? Now notice this. Jesus knew, understood, he was firm in knowing, he knew that the Father had given everything into his hands. That's the first thing he knew. He knew that he had come from God, and he knew that he was going back to God. So, when you know who you are, who you belong to, and what you're called to do, whatever follows that so, you're willing to do because you're secure in your identity. Because so, he started a revolution. Nope. So, he got up from supper, laid aside his outer clothing, took a towel, tied it around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. How could Jesus do something so humbling? Because he knew who he was. And he knew who he belonged to. And he knew where he was going. You are a sinner saved by grace, adopted into the family of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Heard a quote this week, your simple motivation is to preach the gospel, die, be forgotten, and spend forever with Jesus. That's who we are. That's who we are. Like, but because we forget who we are, and we forget who we belong to, and we forget where we're going, there ain't no way we're washing feet. Now, we'll stomp some toes. We'll kick some shins, but wash some feet. But Jesus did. He began to wash the disciples' feet and to dry them with a towel tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, kind of the primary disciple, who asked him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I'm doing you don't realize now, but afterward you will understand. You will never wash my feet, Peter said. Jesus replied, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Like, give me a bath. One who has bathed, Jesus told him, doesn't need to wash anything except his feet. You ever thought about why Jesus just wanted to wash their feet? What I love to believe. I think Jesus washes your feet because he knows where you've been. He knows where you've walked. And he says, you're forgiven. I wash this stuff off your feet. Oh, and by the way, I'm paying attention to where you're going. Jesus pays attention to your feet, like where they take you, right? Where you go, like where you've been, what you've walked through, where you're, like he cares. He washes those things. He loves you. Your feet are not too dirty for Jesus. Like, I keep the shoes that I'm wearing really clean. Those disciple shoes, they were nasty. They didn't have the shoes that you have, right? The sandals, dusty feet. They walked most places that they went and probably stepped in stuff that you would walk around. And Jesus, like, you're never too dirty for Jesus to wash your feet. He loves you. He's not afraid of your feet. Jesus loves stinky feet. All the stinky feet of this world. He loves them. He washes them. Notice he says, but Jesus told them, doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. This is why he said, not all of you are clean. Think about this. Who's the guy's name that betrayed Jesus? Did Jesus wash Judas's feet? Wow. Isn't it easy to skip some feet? Like, right? Like, I mean, I'm looking around this room, I love everybody in this room, I'd wash your feet. But you know, there's people in this world that I don't like. Believe that? People I have a hard time listening to, and a hard time that when they post something, I, right? Or when I see them on the news, my blood boils. I'm not washing their feet. Jesus washed Judas's feet. Oh man, Jesus, man, he makes it difficult, right? Pray for those who curse you, for anyone loves those who are kind to them. But my followers, we're going to pray for the other side of the aisle. What? Time out. Do you know what they're doing on the other side of the aisle? And like how I'd be vague there because both sides of the aisle are a little lulu right now. A little cray cray. It's not something Don would make us say. Cray cray, you know. Just know, Jesus washed the feet of those who betrayed him too. Not just those who were going to go die for him as they proclaim the gospel. Don't know what that means for you. Actually, Jesus is going to tell you, sorry. This is why he said, not all of you are clean. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done for you. And then he prayed and they left, and each one decides what they will do. I want to wash feet, but for me to wash feet, I have to humble myself. I have to get the beam out of my own eye. And I have to be okay that there are going to be people with dirty feet who like it and think it's clean feet. And how do I live as a follower of Jesus when there are things that I just really find disgusting? And I think you might have a hard time in Scripture finding the response of a lot of the Christians today. I'm not going to tell you how to act, not going to tell you what to say, not to say. It's not my job. I'm not the social polite police, whatever you call that stuff, right? I'm just pointing you to what God's Word says, and it's radical. Who washes feet these days? Man, I can't wait for the kingdom of God. Man, I can't wait for Christ to return or for me to die. This sounds weird, right? Because this, like this is not what God desires. And I refuse to be a part of it. Just in the Exodus story, Egypt's experiencing all kinds of crazy stuff, but yet God protected the Israelites. God protected them. And may that be our prayer that, Lord, I'm living in a crazy world, but I'm not a part of it. I am a child of yours. I belong to you. I know where my home is. And therefore, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to have to take Heaven 101 because I practiced here. I'm not going to have to go to the new beginner's class in heaven because I acted like a fool down here. And, you know, no, I'm going to begin today to mirror your son, Jesus. Yeah. What do you do with that? Question I wrote down here is this. What is God asking of you? Do you need to repent? Do you need to pray? Do you need to apologize? All of the above? I don't know. I want to give you time to think about it.
Thanks for listening to our podcast, and thank you for supporting the teaching ministry of New City Church. Man, if this podcast inspired you and you want to partner with New City, you can give now by clicking the link in the description or visit newcitychurch.com/podcast for more information. Have a blessed day.